you spoke and we listened. It's another exciting installment of the Major Spoilers Dungeon Crawl D&D with all of our friends. And Rodrigo is here. D&D Brian is here. Matthew is here. And
you know
today,
what? It sounded like you just said all of our friends.
And these guys.
And these guys.
The people we like, plus the one we have to tolerate.
That would be Matthew. We also have another person joining us today.
You can't see me right now, but I'm giving you the finger.
We have another person joining us today in the form of Rob. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Rob, how long have you been playing Dungeons & Dragons? Obviously, by this pile of 50 million dice that you have in front of you. Obviously for a long, long time.
Because that's clearly the measure of time. You get one die per month that you play Dungeons & Dragons.
Exactly. It's the law.
Wizards of the Coast.
I've been playing since I was in middle school. I had a couple of cousins make me play a character in their game. But I haven't been playing and collecting, buying stuff myself since coming to school here in Hayes about 7 years ago.
7 years ago? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now this is kind of bringing you all back into it. Have you been following along what's going on with 4th edition?
Not until like the last 2 weeks.
Okay, listening to the podcast. We're going to find out about your character later in the game. But for those of you who kind of were listening to the last round of podcasts, Orym, Torque, and Randus stopped the moon from crashing down into the Earth. And we're going to pick up from there. It was an exciting, exciting adventure. And a lot of people liked it, so that's why we're going to continue. Now, there were a couple of questions that people had about our game. One of them being, in the Encounter in the Alley episode, several people asked, how come I didn't use sleep as an attack on the crowd? And the reason for that is, in this version, I have two daily spells. I have a sleep spell and I have a flaming sphere spell. And I guess at the start of each day, you have to pick out what spell you're going to use. So I chose the flaming sphere spell then and could not use the sleep spell. Is there ever a point, Rodrigo, where you get more than one daily spell that you can use?
Oh, absolutely. At every other odd level, you get a new daily spell.
Could I then have Flaming Sphere and Sleep both active at the same time?
You always have to choose. Basically, what wizards get as part of their class feature is that everybody else only gets one daily power.
Oh, okay.
Just like them. It's just wizards get to choose between two every day.
Ah, okay. All right.
Like, Torque and Randus only have one daily.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Orym, as a wizard, every morning gets to pick which one he wants to use as his one daily.
Okay, cool. The other question that came up in either the Twitter or the forum or wherever was...
Oh, the Flavin?
Yeah, and the Flavin. Was, how do we determine experience points? And that's something that you and I kind of discussed a little bit on the last show. But maybe, Rodrigo, you can go into some depth, and I've got some thoughts on XP and how it may differ from what people are playing with World of Warcraft.
Right. In 4th edition, they've made it really easy to put together encounters and to give out experience. Basically, you start out with this pool of experience that's calculated by level, and you essentially buy monsters with that pool of experience. Each monster is worth a certain amount of experience.
Right.
So for an encounter, if I have 600 XP to play with, then I can buy this really tough monster and a couple weaker monsters.
So how does it determine how many XP you have then per encounter? Does it say all level 1 encounters have to have...
A level 1 encounter for so many people will have X.
Oh, okay. So it's just a set number of XP. Okay.
More or less, yes.
Okay. You know, that's a little bit different than in World of Warcraft, where each monster has their own XP.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kill them, you're going to get that much experience points from that.
Well, that's how it is in Dungeons & Dragons, too.
Okay, but I mean, it's just, you know, whatever, how many are in that encounter. You could have 500 of them, 500 monsters, and it's just you. Well, you could get all the XP from those monsters.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you'd have to successfully take care of 500 monsters.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that's a little bit different is, at the end of last game, I had said, well, how many XP do we get? And you said, well, I have to calculate that up, and I will talk to you about that next time. How do you calculate how much XP we receive as players?
Well, there's the straight up the number of monsters you defeat. And defeat's an important word, because if you manage to chase them off, really a lot of people just give people XP for surviving an encounter, which is reasonable sometimes if the encounter is really scary. So that there's that just straight up how much each monster was worth. Besides that, the skill challenge is considered an actual encounter, so it's an encounter appropriate to your level.
So even though we failed the skills challenge, do we get any XP from that?
I gave you guys half XP for,
for well, that was pretty
beating
cool.
that, or for losing at it.
For sucking?
Yes. And after that, there's role-playing XP, which I'm pretty generous with because I want to encourage it. And then there's like mission completion kind of XP.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I gave you guys that just because you successfully became a party without killing each other.
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim earns the power of love.
Pretty much.
Okay, so do you then give everybody an equal amount of XP?
I do, yes.
So, like, yeah, I don't know how many XP you're going to give us. Let's say you're going to give us all 500 XP today. So each one of us would get 500 experience points added on to our total.
Yep.
And again, that's a little bit different, again, than World of Warcraft, where even if you're in a group, if I do the first shot and that monster falls, I get the experience points from that. And if maybe you assist, you might get some experience points from that. So in the last, in the encounter in the alley when we were fighting it out, if Torque killed three people, he would get the XP from that. And if I only killed one or two, then I would get the XP from those characters. And if one character is worth a lot more, then that would offset everybody's XP.
Yeah.
Is there an option to do that in version 4 or not? Or
only if the game master decides that he wants to hire a secretary to keep track of that stuff for him. Okay. Because, you know, in World of Warcraft, you have a computer to do that.
Right, right.
So in Dungeons & Dragons, first off, D&D tries to emphasize teamwork. Mm-hmm. So if you help in that fight, then you get the XP for the fight.
Okay. Matthew, did you have any questions or anything?
When were you born, Stephen?
I was born in the year of the dog of 1970.
In May, right?
No, September.
September? That makes you a Virgo?
Yep.
Hang on, I have your horoscope.
Okay. Today's a perfect...
Good things will happen when you least expect them, which is greatly embarrassing while you're trying to take a shit in peace.
Excellent.
Rodrigo, what are you? You're a Cancer, right?
No, nope, Taurus.
That was close.
Yeah.
Taurus is like two before Cancer. Interesting. Okay, Taurus. Friends will soon discover the secret ingredient to your world-famous lemon bars, though they'll lack the necessary motor functions to tell others.
I should say that today's a good day to be playing Dungeons & Dragons because it is
dreary.
You may hear some lightning thunder crashes out in the background, not added in via special effects. And you might hear a cat in the background that we're going to murder if she doesn't leave everybody alone.
I am hearing the cat, and I thought for a moment Mason was upset and far off in the distance.
No, that little gnome we killed and sent off to school.
All right, and I have my personal horoscope.
Okay.
You'll soon spy with your little eyes something red and black and burnt and flying and shrieking and vengeful and howling and hurt, thanks in large part to all the acid.
Well, we may just actually encounter that.
That sounds about right.
So, Rodrigo, Dungeon Master, we're going to turn it over to you. My guess is you're going to... are you going to give us some XP? Is that what you're going to do?
You each have now 842 XP.
Wow. Now, that's total. Now, the other question was, when Orym did his graduation day, he already had 300 XP, so I can't add that on to...
It is added on. This is Orym's XP plus the XP that you guys earned.
Oh, okay. So, again, it goes back to, even though I had 300 XP, these other guys, without having to do anything, got my XP based on the hard work of my Eladrin.
Exactly. So you should all thank Steven. Say thanks, Steven.
Thanks, Steven.
I don't know if that's such a great thing. Oh, so the good thing is, we're like, maybe after today's gameplay, we'll be into a whole nother level. We'll be level 2 gamers, and we'll have some new powers and some new spells to get into that.
Correct.
Now, and again, is there an advantage or disadvantage to waiting until after the session is over to award XP? Because I'm thinking we could have like 5 encounters today, but after the first encounter, we might level up if we had enough XP.
The game master is within his right to do that if he feels that's appropriate. I usually don't want to interrupt the action because leveling up just stops the game dead in its tracks while people look through books and decide to swat a cat away while it's pulling on its microphone cord.
Don't I have a spell of banishment or something?
Banish cat.
Magic missiles.
Banishment, cat in parentheses. But yeah, so even if... and you guys wouldn't get enough XP out of a single encounter.
Okay.
To level up, but hopefully by the end of this game you guys will be level 2 unless you guys absolutely 100% fail every encounter.
Well, let's hope that we don't do that today. Rodrigo pointed something out last night as we were prepping for the game. Because of my flame wand plus one, I also get another attack spell called Scorching Burst.
Correct. Once per day, you can activate your magic item's ability and use Scorching Burst.
Does anybody else have magic items?
You are the only one that has a magic item right
now. Okay, cool. Hmm. All right, then. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started and see how far we can get before we need to take a pizza break or something.
Okay. So, first off, we'll do a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to say that you guys...
Housekeeping?
Housekeeping? I'm going to say that you guys ended up staying in Moonhold for about a week.
Okay.
Even if you guys didn't want to spend that much time in there, it was actually kind of hard to leave because of two reasons. One, Randis and Orym spent a lot of time studying the tower, which is essentially now a dome, a very shallow dome with the radius of the tower.
Okay.
You didn't gain a lot of information, or rather, you're now kind of familiar with the weird technology that the tower was made of. You've determined that the tower's deactivated. You need a different key from the four-facet key to activate it again. And on top of that, you guys now have this floating ephemeral pool of knowledge. So if I ask you, if something comes up that has similar technology as the tower, now you can make arcana checks to put the pieces together.
Okay.
From the knowledge that you've gained.
Okay.
The other issue that makes it hard to leave is pretty much the relief effort. As people who are anywhere from actually altruistic to just kind of relatively decent, you guys have found it very hard not to, you know, pull people out of buildings and stuff like that. Moonhold was basically obliterated.
Wow.
There is not enough city to call a city nowadays.
And was Moonhold, was it the major city of the region?
Moonhold was not the biggest city of the region, but out of all the mining, little mining towns, or out of all the mining cities, Moonhold was the biggest.
Okay.
There is, at the edge of mining country, there's the Diamond Throne, which is the biggest city in the area, and also has a crazy keep.
Okay.
You guys have heard that sometime this within the next few days, a caravan is going to be rolling through, and this caravan is coming from Iron Hill. And it's basically full of refugees. It's just going around, making the rounds to the towns, getting people and essentially moving them to Diamond Throne.
Okay. So everybody's headed to Diamond Throne.
Kind of. You guys have encountered a few obstinate people who were born in Moonhold and will die in Moonhold kind of thing, but there really isn't much, there really isn't enough city left. A lot of the town guard was wiped out because they were out and about when it happened. I'm going to say that Twerk's most direct superiors were taken out, so now he's decided to report directly to Orym.
All right.
I don't know, does that sound reasonable?
I think it might be.
Sounds understandable. I mean,
I did tell him he has to help
me. The smartest talky guy is the one that's in charge, and Orym talks a lot. And
in your experience, that is how it goes usually.
Yeah, the talkiest is the one in charge, and he hasn't shut up since like Thursday. So
plus, I can make funnel cakes appear.
Yeah, but they're invisible. I try to eat them, and there ain't nothing there. So.
Twerk gets invisible and intangible confused.
And so does Matthew. All right. 10 o'clock in the morning, cut me some slack. I don't have a personality till 11.
So we'll start things out en route to Moonhold in a caravan.
We are returning to Moonhold?
No, you guys are not.
Someone else is en route to
Moonhold. Someone else is en route to Moonhold.
I wonder who it could be.
There is... this caravan is very... kind of shoddy. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of carts. A lot of them have been put together. A lot of them are like wheelbarrows that are just kind of tied to each other and, you know, that kind of thing. People just kind of doing what they can with what they have. Everybody in it looks kind of dejected. It's mostly humans. This area is largely humans. There's a few dwarves and a bunch of halflings. The halflings seem to be a little bit more cheerful than other people, but that's how halflings tend to be anyway. The drover for this caravan is a man named Leon. He is clearly looks like he's not from around here. People in mining country tend to be kind of a little bit shorter, stockier, dark hair kind of thing. This guy, light skin. This guy is tall, has very dark skin, and has actually very light hair. Mm. He does his best to keep the caravan moving, and pretty soon he can see Moonhold in the horizon, at which point he kind of makes the announcement that they've almost arrived and that, you know, people should make sure to put their own personal things aside for a while and help with any relief that needs to be done so that we can get the survivors and leave as soon as possible, maybe barter a little bit with anybody who's staying, and then get moving to Diamond Throne. In this caravan is a young man who is probably pretty close to the front of the caravan, just because he's managed to make himself useful the whole way. Rob, why don't you go ahead and describe your character?
Basic human, you know, dark hair, it's a smith, has his smithing gear on about 90% of the time. In fact, no one's seen him without it on when he's actually awake. Tries to keep to himself unless he's actually helping out with everybody. Dark hair, looks like he belongs within the region.
Do we find out about his name and
not until you actually start talking to him and he reveals it, or through role-playing you find out.
Okay.
So, the caravan pulls into Moonhold. There's a few people that are already there expecting it, and Leon just gets right to work, and so do the halflings. They have really proven to be most helpful, and since they tend to be nomads, they've been hit the least hard by what happened. The sky is still pretty much on fire. You can't see past it. There's just horrible billowing clouds and red lightning shooting through it. It always looks like it's mid-afternoon.
Okay.
No matter what part of the day is, it's actually pretty hard. It's been pretty hard to keep track of time recently, just because the sky is always the same horrible shade of red.
Right.
So, Leon motions to, what's your character's name, Rob?
Smith.
He says, "Hey, Smith, why don't you run in and see if anybody needs any help? Try to see if there are any able-bodied people, because we need more guards for the caravan. And if they don't want to come along, see if you can convince them to come along."
Think I can manage that. I'll be back shortly.
All right. So Smith runs into the ruins of Moonhold. At which point, we will cut to Torque.
I ain't never been able to get any of this snow to make a decent snowman.
Oh, good Lord, Torque.
I don't know nothing.
Torque.
Yes.
Looking through the town for survivors, as he does, as he's been doing every morning after he tries to build his snowman.
Because I can pick up the big pieces of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Has, inside a building, stumbled across what appears to be a bunch of melon, roughly like cantaloupe-sized rocks that appear to have kind of jewels or maybe crystals coming out of them.
Do they look dangerous?
No, they look like geodes, basically.
Do I know what those is?
Ooh, pretty. No.
The,
we'll pick them up.
Okay. There's a bunch of them here. Some of them appear to be totally scorched. Scourged. Because I'm from the hood. So, Torque might want to notify the talkie guys about his find.
I pick up one in either hand and I go looking for Fancy Pants and...
Needles?
Jim. Yeah. That's a good name. Okay.
All right. Well, you find Orym and Randus at the tower, or what used to be the tower. We'll call it the dome. Comparing notes, as usual, as they do in this morning.
Morning.
Let's say 7:56.
Sounds about right.
I found a thing.
What have you found this time?
It's like a rock and a diamond and a rock all at the same time.
What?
Like this. There's a big stack of them in a basement over there, and they look magic-y.
I'm not familiar with this kind of a rock. Randus, you've been around this region.
You've never seen this stuff before.
This is intriguing. I'm going to have to run a couple tests, see if I can see if it's sort of any sort of energy channeling capabilities, or who knows what this might be used for.
Is there some,
I'll tell you, if it's got a rock and a diamond in it, it can't be natural or nothing.
I wonder who would be able to tell us more about this, then.
You can always just go back to where you found them, see if there's any clues there.
Torque, take us to where you found these.
I'm going to keep one in my belt. I have a pouch.
That's fine.
It is the size of a cantaloupe.
I have a big belt.
Okay.
I may have to keep it in my hat and get a hat.
Okay.
So I'm going to lead them back to the thing and down into the basement, and there's a big pile of the rock, stick rock thing, rock things.
Yep.
Fascinating.
The building's entirely destroyed, so you can even, as you walk into the building, look down into the basement and see them.
Do I know what it used to be?
Yeah, it used to be just kind of a, we'll say, an apartment.
But there wasn't anything inherently that might make it unusual.
Yeah, not anything unusual that you can remember.
Okay.
So you guys travel down, and why don't both of you give me a... an arcana check.
3 - 1.
15 plus, let's see, 9, 10, 11. So that is at like a 26.
26.
Yeah, because when I take my...
11?
Rolled a 2.
Nice.
Okay, because I had these all straight across, right?
Yep.
Okay, so 26.
Just don't add up the last one.
Oh, okay, then so
whatever.
24.
Like, whatever's in this little square is what you add.
Yeah, so that'd be... Okay, 26 then.
Okay. Alright, well, with a 26, kind of... You look at the rocks, and you look at the ceiling of the basement, essentially, the first floor. You're pretty sure that these things fell through here.
From above?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just from the pattern in which they're arranged. Like I said, there's a couple of them that are just completely scorched.
Randus, notice the pattern that these impact and the scorching. These look like they may have fallen from the sky, perhaps discharged from the moon as it came down.
Ah, very interesting. This may be. We should study this further, if this might have something to do with how the moon was pulled down from the sky. This could perhaps be help to reverse the process.
Okay.
So you guys get to studying?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So you guys start poking at him.
I tap on it. Do I hear anything if I tap on it? Does it sound solid?
It sounds like it might be a little hollow. Mm. Like there might be just a chamber inside.
Dare we crack one of these open, Randus?
We could try.
Torque.
What?
Can you open one of these for us?
I'm going to take two of them and crack them together.
Okay. Does he have to do a strength
check? Do you
pick
up?
Back.
do you use the one that you've had on you this whole time?
That one's mine. I'm going to pick up two other ones.
Okay. So Torque picks up two of the other ones. You know, he can palm them. and starts kind of bashing them together. Why don't the two of you, not Torque, give me a perception check?
19.
And?
9.
Wow. And so it starts.
It's early. I sense
you may not want to do that moment coming up.
Okay. As Torque
is... This seems perfectly logical to me.
As Torque is bashing these other two, and they seem to be incredibly resilient. They definitely don't crack in the first couple smashes together. Right. You see the one in his pouch, which, you know, the pouch only encompasses about half of it. You know, as he kind of jammed it in there. Crack.
Hmm.
And you see something kind of poke out of it and start moving around.
Torque, my goodness, look at your belt. Stop what you're doing. Look at your belt. What is that?
I'm going to take it out of my belt and look at it.
Okay. You take it out of your belt and look at it. It continues to crack. It kind of splits in half, and this slimy little monster is kind of hanging in there. It is about probably the size of a small cat. It looks reptilian. It's got 4 beady eyes.
Keep it away from your face.
Its body...
Does it look like the kind of thing that I'm immediately going to smush it?
Like you're immediately going to smush it?
Yeah.
Probably. It's,
consider it smushed.
Its body is reptilian, but its legs are kind of spider-like. They kind of come down,
then
back up, and then they end in just one big claw.
Yeah, I'm going to smush it.
Okay. You pick it up and throw it against the ground and step on it. Crunch.
Oh, disgusting, vile creatures.
When you do that...
I think these are some kind of magical eggs. I told you they were natural, man.
When you step on it, it goes... At which point, crack, 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 crack. All the other ones start cracking open. And we'll start combat here momentarily.
Great.
How big are these creatures?
They are about the size of a small cat.
Okay.
It's getting better each time.
So probably 17. Too small for chopping in half.
Yeah. Roll your initiative and hang on to the number. Okay. You can go ahead and roll 2.
Initiatize on a 20, yes?
Yeah, D20.
All right.
Don't tell me the number yet, because I'll forget.
Okay.
I won't.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I've got another question before we get into combat, Rodrigo.
Okay.
Something that we may need some clarification on. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between a move and a shift? Now, we talked before about if you move away from the enemy, you provoke an attack of opportunity. But how can I shift and not provoke an attack of opportunity?
Okay. First off, there are 3 types of actions: a standard action, minor action, and a move action.
Right.
Moving normally and a shift are both move actions.
Right.
So let's get that out of the way. When you move away from an enemy, in-game what your character is doing is turning his back on the enemy mm-hmm. and moving. Right. Because your characters move, what 6 times 5? 20?
20
yards in 6 seconds, which means you are hustling at all times.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable?
That sounds 30. Good to
6 times 5 is 30.
That's what I meant. I'm not all that great with numbers either. I haven't taken a math class since I was in high school, which was awesome.
5 years ago.
So like 4 years ago.
Yep. So that's what happens there. A shift, you essentially are taking all the movement that you could be doing and basically flailing your arms, you know, so that you don't get hit in the face.
Okay, so is this more like a sidestep then? Because you can only shift like 1 square, right?
Right.
Okay.
You can see it as a sidestep. You can see it as just kind of a...
Parry?
Yeah, it's kind of like a push and back away kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, essentially, it's a tactical maneuver to get away from your opponent. It's that moment when they're trying to essentially bring their weapon around, but haven't quite managed. You take that time to move away.
Okay.
You can describe it much any way you want.
So we are in this basement.
Correct.
And Torque is essentially surrounded by five red die, 5 6-sided die.
Dice.
And behind him, immediately behind him, are 4 blue crystals. Immediately to their right is another grouping of five white dice. I am two squares behind Torque, and to my left is another blue crystal. To my right is Randus. And to Randus's right, and then wrapping around behind Randus and Orym, are five white crystals. So that, if you're listening, I should have brought the camera out so we could take a snap of this. In fact, let me do that now, so that just so people who are playing at home can take a look at...
I think the surrounded probably covers it.
Well, I just want to make sure that people kind of know what our... So I'll throw that up into the podcast so that you guys can see. It's not going to be brilliant, but at least you'll get an idea of what we're up against.
Okay, I guess you are right, Rodrigo. I do only empower one weapon per day, and in every milestone I get another one.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and Torque will have the plus two he can apply.
Okay, and that's a one-shot plus two that he can use?
One-shot,
once whenever he wants.
Yeah.
So he can only use that once?
One combat.
Yeah.
Yeah. One attack.
Yeah. You decide to, on one attack, say, I will add the magic man's plus two to my attack now.
And you do it after you roll, even, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so let's see. Who thinks they have the high initiative here?
I've got 17.
Okay. Anybody beat 17?
All right. I've got 23.
23? Nice. Wow.
Yep. There's no bonus for a nat 20 on initiative, but...
Right.
There should be.
And then 17, Orym?
Yes, 17.
And then 16, 15, 14, 13?
4?
I do apologize, 5.
What'd you get, Rob?
I rolled 4.
Okay. Now, he's not in the encounter. Why did you have him roll for an initiative? Is that something that you're working on?
Because I do what I want.
Okay. All right.
He's somewhere in the city, if he falls through the roof?
Well, that's true, too. That's why I was asking.
Great. Yep. Two people that like to run through architecture.
Yes. And unfortunately, I don't think there are any windows down in the basement that Torque will be able to smash through. And I don't think there are any funnel cakes hidden in the corner either.
11, 10, 9, 8. Oh, yeah, you'd five. Be the next at 5, yes. Right?
Seriously? Randus?
I'm just taking in the situation.
Okay.
Finding the best strategic.
That's actually probably kind of good for you because...
Being the healer.
Being the healer, everybody else can attack and you can...
It's kind of optimal. You want your defender to go first in the turn, and if somebody's going to go last, it might as well be the leader. Hilariously enough.
Maybe Brian should make more leaders.
Now, Torque, just for clarification, what did you call these little creatures?
Monkey rat lizards.
All right. So
I'm gonna smush some.
These guys burst out of their eggs and immediately go on you guys.
Oh, good.
One thing that you should know about them is that they are horrible, gnashy little critters. If you end your turn next to one of them, you will take 2 points of damage.
Okay.
Which means if you, for example, if Orym here was to end his turn, he would take, right here where he's standing, he would take 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 points of damage just from ending his turn there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's to get
okay, so let's look at all these things. So the red dice are what? Creatures?
Little critter guys.
White are the
little
creatures.
Critter guys.
The blue are critters.
Critter guys.
And the white are critters?
No, those are actually critters.
So we've got we've got to battle 20 of these critters.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
This would be a good time for a ranged spell.
Yep. Too bad he's in melee.
Yep.
In any case, Torque. Rawr, these things are coming at you and biting at your ankles and being all generally unpleasant. What do you do?
Okay, you said we could see down into the building.
We're actually down in the building.
You are down
you
in the basement.
You could see down into the basement.
Yeah.
How high are the walls?
I'll say the walls are maybe 10 feet tall.
Okay. Is there any superstructure left above us that we could, you know, grab a hold of and go up?
Not appreciably, no. I would allow you to try to jump over these guys, but that would provoke attacks of opportunity. And, you know, kind of using the superstructure to swing around.
Okay.
But leaving that square without shifting will provoke an attack of opportunity.
Okay. Using my awesome torque thinking powers.
Okay.
There are two. Well, let's say north is up.
Here.
So the direction which I'm facing is north. There are two.
That's
in
north.
A northerly direction.
Right.
In theory, I could cleave through those two and move out of being surrounded.
Yes.
To where they're not directly on either side of me, to where they would go bite, 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 bite.
Correct.
Because I'd have to go through 20 of them, or 9 of them, as well as Needles and the talkie guy, to get back to the stairs, yes?
Correct. These are the stairs.
So I'm going to try to cleave through the two that are blocking me and get out into open space to where I can turn.
These two?
Yes.
Or these two?
The first two.
Yeah.
Those two.
Get your back
those
against
are the
wall.
Two. The red one and the one with the little scar above his eye.
Okay. All right. So, you cleaving? Roll it.
I would like to cleave.
Cool. All
right. Now, let me figure out how cleaving works again.
Well,
you hit one enemy, then cleave into another enemy. All right. I'm having fun. All right, so I have a +8 to attack, which means my attack roll is a 22.
22?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that, I'm pretty sure, yep, that'll hit. You hit this one, and then deal, go ahead and roll damage.
10 plus 5, so 15.
Okay, and then that deals 5 damage to this other one, too, I believe, because it just deals your strength, right?
Strength modifier.
Yep. So those two get squished.
And then I move out of the range of bitiness.
Shift one?
No. Does he want to... he can only shift?
Well, unless he wants to get bitten as he moves out.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to try and get to the point where I'm bitten the least. So if shifting over there puts me in the range of the least bitten,
yeah,
then I will be the least bitten.
Okay. Anything you can do as a minor action?
Can I stomp one?
No. You can stomp at one as a free action.
Can I try and kick that red one?
Sure. You try to... No, it doesn't do anything. You try to kick the red one. It gnashes at you. You end your turn and take 2 points of damage for being next to it. Because it bites your toe.
And you now got a hole in your boot.
Yep. Okay, so that's Torque. The white pod... White, red, blue, clear.
Okay.
Number one over there will take a bite at Randus. For a 8 versus AC.
No.
These guys, let's see, what's their movement?
Because your AC is what?
My AC is 16.
Okay.
This guy will go 1, 2, and attack Torque. For a 12 versus AC, guessing it doesn't hit. This guy will move here and also attack Torque. For...
Why are they biting me?
Because you look delicious.
It's all that cheesecake.
I am filled with fruity goodness, but that don't make no sense.
That's a 9 versus AC, so that doesn't hit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll come around there and flank you.
Wait a minute, these things are smart.
They are. They're like horrible little predators. That'll be a 22 versus AC.
That would hit.
Take 4 damage.
Okay.
And 1, 2, 3. That guy will move there, and that guy is not flanking you, but he will also take a bite at you for a 18 versus AC.
He misses.
He does?
He does now.
What?
Because, haha.
AC is 17, my bad.
Yep. So take four more damage.
I was looking
damage.
At the wrong level. I was thinking that my strength was my AC because it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, sorry. Blame that on Steven. This is clearly Steven's fault.
Hey, if you guys don't want a gnome screaming in the background.
I guess that helps. All right, so that's that pod. Orym.
Yes.
There's a lot of gnashing critters around you.
Yes, there is.
Now, they want to kill you.
I can go... Can I move...
They want to kill your face.
My Eladrin has a power called Face Step,
mm-hmm.
okay, and which I can move 5 squares.
Yep.
So that means that anybody in my way is... I mean, yeah, it's
you
not
won't provoke attacks of opportunity. You cease to be in that square and appear 5 squares
away. Okay, so I want
to
move 5 squares diagonal.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Furthest away.
Let's see. Good call. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So right there?
Yep.
Okay. Poof. All right, so before you continue.
Okay.
This is the first time you've teleported
mm-hmm.
since the event.
Right.
Usually
oh,
when
great.
You...
I'm going to teleport through a wall or something.
Usually when you teleport, you have this... You kind of appear in this pastoral, beautiful meadow somewhere in the Feywild.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of traverse it quietly and then reappear wherever you were going.
Okay.
This time, you kind of pop somewhere in this horrible, smoky place.
Oh, good lord.
There's all this screaming. Your body is battered and shaken as you kind of fly through the air. And you appear again in this room. Your head hurts a lot. It doesn't have any statistical effects. But you know that there's probably something terribly wrong with the Feywild after having teleported.
Oh, no, that is...
Oh, no.
Now, please continue your turn.
Okay, so the next thing is, I don't know if I can do this from here. It says, it's an area ranged attack.
Mm-hmm.
It says burst 1 within 10.
Right. Yeah.
So what does that mean?
That means within 10 squares of you. Okay. So pretty much anywhere that you have line of sight to.
Okay.
You put down a burst, and mm-hmm. that square,
mm-hmm.
plus all the squares surrounding it,
mm-hmm.
are hit by that
okay.
attack.
So I'm going to use my... And this is the one time I can use this today,
mm-hmm.
unless it gets a recharger or anything. My flame wand, we said, had a scorching burst. So I'm going to do scorching burst right here, I think. I can get maximum. Because won't this one?
No. This one,
yeah.
You can get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to send my scorching burst there.
Okay.
And I'm going to roll, and I get a 19 nice. Plus, what is this?
Should be a 19 plus your regular wand attack, so your intelligence plus 1.
Okay, so my intelligence, 18 plus 1 is 19, so I add that on to that? Is that right?
No. Your intelligence modifier.
Oh, 4. Okay, so that'd be 5, so that'd be a 24.
That'll hit him.
Okay.
And
I get a roll for damage or no?
Usually you do, but these guys have only 1 hit point.
Okay.
So those guys all get incinerated.
Excellent.
I couldn't nuke some of the ones around Tor.
Well, I was trying to get out the ones that would... because you've got still a shift.
He did, however, take out a lot of the ones that haven't gone yet, which is an important consideration.
That's a good point.
Anything you want to do as a minor action, Orym?
Give him the finger.
And hold your aching head.
Yes, I hold my aching head. Okay. I feel nauseous. That's my minor move. I puke a little.
All right. Clear pod. Someone's going to get bitten.
Not as bad as he would have gotten.
I hope you got some of them thingy-bobbers.
Chomp.
Sure.
That will probably hit. That'll be 23 versus AC.
Yep.
Take 4 damage.
Shift.
17 versus AC.
Yes.
Take 4 damage. Shift.
Man.
Nat 20. Take 4 damage.
Someone heal the healer.
Shift. I don't have any healing.
That'll miss.
I know.
Shift. That'll be a 20 versus AC. Take 4 more damage.
Yeah.
So these, the this remaining pot of critters just.
I is bloodied.
Oh, yep. No. There's there and there is a lot of blood. Oh, is there blood?
Passersby were astonished by the unusual amounts of blood.
Speaking of passersby, so you're walking by this building, Smith, and you hear this commotion. When you peek in, you see these three guys dealing with what appears to be horrible monsters that you've never encountered before.
That doesn't look terribly good.
Nope.
How bad does the orc look?
The orc looks like he's holding his own. This guy looks bad.
Right. So I need to help the orc. Yeah. I'm going to... There's a reason I'm helping the orc, not you. I'm going to throw a blazing starfall. It's an area burst that's going to hit every creature in there.
Okay.
I'm going to toss it right here. That's burst one.
Nice. So that'll hit Torqued as well.
Yes, but it'll also hit all the little monster things around him.
Right.
That, or I could have centered it on the artificer. And probably killed him.
Do you have to center it on a dude?
Area burst. So, well, I don't think so.
So you wouldn't have to center it on Torqued if you only wanted to get three of these guys. You could center it here.
True.
This centering it here next to Torqued would get you all of the guys that are on him.
Right, which is what I'm going to go for.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to kill the orc with.
Probably
way
not.
To make friends. Nice to meet you. Boom, I blew you up.
Torqued has his back to him right now. He'll probably blame it on Orym.
I'm over here, you idiot.
So that's 13 versus reflex.
13 versus reflex, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Torqued does 13 hit you. All right, you hit Torqued and miss all the guys.
What?
So roll damage on the orc.
Hey!
11 max damage.
Torqued, you take 11 points of damage as this comet hits you.
And then, let's see. The burst creates a zone bounded by burning ground that lasts until the end of my next turn. If an enemy within the zone leaves it, they take fire damage equal to my strength.
Okay.
So does that mean even... Torque would do that?
No, because that's an enemy within the zone leaves it.
Okay.
Take fire damage. You said, and it's burst one?
Yes.
We'll slide that in here.
I think we got a new enemy on the scene.
I think that's how this was. Yeah, the red one was one further over.
This one?
The other red one.
This one?
No, he is flanking.
Yeah, true. Okay. So this area here is on fire. But it will no longer hurt Torque. It'll only hurt these guys if they leave the zone.
Okay.
And
so it's a burning ring of fire?
Yep.
Okay.
Does it go down, down, down?
It what does, actually. This place is not too stable. And it burns. Burns.
Ring of fire.
Burns.
Only if they move, though.
Okay. Blue pod, of which there is only one. Will attack the new guy on the scene because he also looks delicious.
Torqued, are you bloodied?
Eleven and two and six.
12 versus Stacy?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are bloodied?
I'm bloodied.
Okay.
And slow man.
Okay. Well, with a quick and practice motion, I'll jab a one of my own hypodermics into my own jugular and give me back some
jugular
hit points.
Yep.
Dude, that seems a bit of...
This guy is hardcore.
I guess.
He usually does the carotid, but, you know.
Wow.
Jugular gets it to his heart faster.
Yes. And I need it.
And again, since we are playing in the not major spoilers recording studio, just to let you know that you may hear noise or rattling or whatever. That's just something people accept.
Shit. If you could see the video, you'd occasionally see a tail walking around.
Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and do Thundering Armor on myself.
Okay.
So I press a button on my vest and a burst of lightning shoots out.
Whoa, cool.
Awesome.
And it's going to, hopefully, well, I'm going to get plus one to AC, first of all. And then hopefully hit the, let's say the guy to the, what would be the west. We'll see. None better. So that'll be 19 versus AC.
That'll hit him.
All right.
And he'll die.
Yeah, don't have to roll damage.
Okay. Anything else? That's all you
need? That's
all. Okay. Take 2 damage.
Yep.
Preventing your turn next to one of these guys. And we're back to the top of the order. Torque, you are in a patch of fiery fire surrounded by monstery monsters.
Hey, who did that?
I'm on fire.
The fire does not appear to be burning you. It was that first impact that kind of shook you a little bit.
So it's a magic-y fire. Can I do a healing surge real quick?
You can do, as a standard action, you can use your second wind. But that would prevent you from attacking.
Wait, I don't want to do that.
Unless you spend an action point.
I got 12 hippie points.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you shifted, you'd only lose
4 more hit points.
4 more. But then if any of those guys move, they would all die, more or less.
Not if they remain within the zone. Yeah. The only thing they can't do is leave it.
Oh, okay.
They take damage if they leave the zone.
Oh, okay. I thought if it...
Can I leave the zone?
You can leave the zone.
But you can't.
But you'd provoke attacks of opportunity from 1, 2, 3, 4 of them.
All right.
Well, actually.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 within striking distance? 4 within striking distance?
4 within striking distance, yes.
And I'm thinking in torque terms.
Mm-hmm.
Strategically, stop being on fire.
Yes. That's one.
There's a guy between me and stop and being on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to kill that guy and stop being on fire.
Works for me.
So I'm going to attack the red one and exit the flaming area.
Okay.
Excellent.
You can't. You can only. If you shift, you'll still be in the flaming area. If you move out, these three guys are going to take attacks of opportunity on
you. Now, do those attacks of opportunity occur after his move?
As soon as he declares that he's moving, they will attack him. And then he'll continue his move.
Oh, so it's not like I can move here, but then they automatically get a chance to move and attack me. So
right.
Or
usually no. Usually okay. It's right when the movement is declared.
Okay.
So if I were to attack the red one and then I would only have enough to shift, I wouldn't be able to exit the flaming spheroid.
Right. What you can do and what you should probably do no matter what is cleave, which means you can, if you hit one, you're automatically taking out another, which means you'd be taking at most 8 hit points of damage by leaving the zone.
Done. Cleaving.
Okay. Cleaving the red one and taking out maybe this little white one over here.
Yeah, it sounds like a winner to me.
Cool.
All right. Plus 8 to attack. Attack roll of 17.
Nice.
All right. That'll take him out.
Okay.
Splorch.
I rolled max damage just in case you were curious. So now, do I have any movement options?
Yeah, you can shift away from those guys, and then you won't take any damage.
Sure. I'm going to be shifting post-haste.
Okay. So, Torx takes out the two...
Nothing like an orc on fire covered in bites for a quick movement.
Torx takes out the one in his way, and accident probably just, as part of his follow-through, takes out the other one, and then does a quick hop away from the guys that are trying to bite his face. All right, we're on to the white pod. Those two guys will pursue Torque. And first one will attack. That'll hit. Torque, take 4 points of damage. Second attack. That might hit. Nope. Orym.
All right. I have turned around. I can cast magic missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And I can either go with this guy, but I won't really have a fear that he's going to hurt Torque too
much. That guy hasn't gone yet.
Okay.
So if you take him out now, then that's damage that's not going to go on the board this turn.
Are you bloodied yet?
I just got unbloodied. But I'm pretty close to get rebloodied.
All right. I'll use my magic missile, and I will go for this red guy.
Okay.
Oh, bad roll. 4 plus... What is my... intelligence?
It should be 5.
Okay, so yeah. I hit for 9.
Okay, that does not hit.
Don't hit for 9.
Yeah, if it would have been a 19 had it not rolled off my card. But
yep.
roll away from stuff.
I know.
Seems to be true. Yeah.
All right. Any movement?
At this point, I'm gonna stay away.
good point. Good.
And I have no minor, and there's no minor action that I can do now. Okay, let me ask you this: Mage Hand says that I can pick up and move things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include monsters?
No.
Darn.
I'd let you like pick up a rock so you can have it in your hand and then maybe throw it at them later. But really, if you can cast a magic missile, why the hell would you do that?
Okay. Well, I didn't know if I could, like, because it says, you know, I can pick up things and move them five squares. I could move one of these that are close by.
And... Mage Hand, Light, Ghost Sound, and Prestidigitation are awesome.
Awesome, just stage show things.
Yeah. All right. Exactly.
All right.
So you can be a cool wizard without having actual, you know.
All right. Then my turn is over.
Okay. Clear Pod.
I should have gone for the other guy.
This guy will actually just 1, 2, and then move over here for the flank. So, do you have a melee weapon equipped right now? I'm gonna say that
dagger. Oh wait, my darn familiar thing does the quick draw.
You have a what's it now?
Well, that still takes a minor action.
It does.
That's a good question. Well, my last one would have been an implement attack, so.
So
let's just say no.
I'm gonna. You can just take a kick at him for, you know, just a straight up strength attack plus a D4.
Okay.
You might as well roll it.
That's a no.
Okay. So now that it's gotten there safely,
don't kick.
It'll attack you for. Stop gesticulating. People can't see it. A 15 versus AC.
Nope.
All right. This guy will move here. And chompity chomp.
It's 17 right now.
And we'll miss. This guy will shift and chompity chomp. And we'll hit for 4 points of damage.
Hit 17?
He rolled a 9-20.
Okay.
And then the last one will attack as well. That's 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, 23 versus AC. So take 4 more points of damage.
Ouch.
Smith, there's a thing in front of you.
It's dead.
Okay.
At the start of my turn, it takes 3 damage.
Oh, from?
From Phase of the Sun. At the start of your turn, each enemy adjacent to you takes fire and radiant damage equal to your strength modifier.
Okay.
What?
That's pretty cool. Is that from the last spell that you cast?
That's from the sorcerer stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's pretty awesome.
And then... Yeah, we'll go ahead and do another Blazing Starfall.
Okay. Maybe some place where you won't kill people?
That's what I was thinking. Right here.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll get
3 of them.
These two and this one?
Yep.
Okay, go for it.
Less.
Okay, well, these guys are quick little buggers. But now those guys can't leave that zone.
Yep. Now, because the zone changed, does that guy kill?
Oh, okay. The zone didn't change at the beginning of your turn.
Oh, the fire
until
went out.
Until the end of my turn, I think.
Okay, so right now there's actually 2 zones.
Okay.
At this point, that other zone disappears,
okay,
and this zone remains.
All right, cool.
Yeah. And then I'll go ahead and move myself over to here.
Okay. Hup, 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 hup. All right. There is one remaining survivor of the red pod. He wants revenge for the death of... Actually, he doesn't. He's just hungry.
Revenge.
So he'll move over here and take a bite out of the artificer, who seems delicious and easier to bite. That'll be a 13 versus AC.
Nope.
Okay. And that's that. And Randis, you're once again surrounded by monsters.
This would be a great time for some ranged attacks, gentlemen.
I tried that last time.
Do I have to learn magic? Because I will.
Again, it would have been nice.
I'm going to cast Big B's Thrusting Colon. All right.
Again, I'm going to hypodermate myself.
Okay.
You know, Needles is always shooting up, and I think it may be time for an intervention.
So back down to just unbloodied.
Nice.
And I'm going to lather rinse, repeat my last action as well, and doing the Thundering Armor again. Nice. So that'll be...
Against?
Against the one to the north.
There's two guys. Well,
the one directly north.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you.
Yeah. It'll be...
Two north.
Where's that plus? It'll be 21.
Okay.
Or no, yeah.
That'll kill him.
So I guess I can't shift diagonally because of the corner.
But
bam. Would I get anything for moving into that, or is there any reason I should avoid that?
It's only enemies when it's a zone.
Okay. Very well.
Okay. Randus
we'll take two.
Electrifies himself again, and the one that was latched to his arm just fries off.
Zorch.
Yep. Torque.
So I take 2 points of damage? Or...
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm bloodied again.
Torque, there are two guys on you.
Which two?
The two white ones.
These two.
I'm going to pick the little one up and kill the big one with him.
Okay. Cleave?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Thank you. 27 to hit.
Okay. That'll take him out.
Excellent.
And then at this point in time, seeing that Needles is about to be eaten by more lizard monkeys, can I move towards them without provoking any attacks?
Yeah, you can move to any of these squares.
I'm going to move towards the center square where one over to your towards me. There you go. That way I should be able to cleave through a couple next time around.
Cool. You do have that action point.
Can I kill him?
If you spend an action point, you can...
I'm going to do that. Okay, I'd like to spend my action point and try and get some of these guys off of Randus's back.
Okay. These two?
Yes, please. What's the two hit on these schmucks?
If you beat a 15, you're good.
I almost said THACO. I said what?
What'd you roll?
19.
Yeah, that'll hit.
And frass them.
And
that's since I spent an action point to get a free action?
Yeah.
Can I hit somebody again?
Nope. You just spend your action point for that.
Okay.
You do end your turn adjacent to this guy, so take 2 points of damage.
All right.
As he bites your delicious face. Maybe he doesn't get up to his face. He's just latched onto your bicep. There's a lot of meat there.
Don't let him get on your face.
Covered in the powdered sugar from the...
And let's see, that pot is dead. Orym.
Can I cast a magic missiles through my teammates?
Through us. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to use a ranged attack. My thunder wave.
Yeah, with magic
missiles. And I'm going to hit that guy.
Okay.
Or I'm going to try. And I roll a 19 plus my modifier, which is going to be like a 20. What is it, intelligence modifier? That'd be 23.
And that's versus reflex?
Yeah.
Yep. That'll kill it.
And I don't have any healing, so there's no reason to move, so I'm just going to hang tight over here.
Okay. Clear pod. Rawr. These guys appear to be mostly hungry. That seems to be what they're...
I think I flavored my blood with my own curative.
Yeah, they're like, nom, 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 nom. If I had healing surges, this would be delicious. That won't hit, though.
I'm just glad these guys are minions, or else we'd be pretty fragged with all those darn criticals he kept rolling.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. Smith.
It's not good to be fragged by minions.
We are going to do Dragon Frost.
Dragon Frost.
Okay.
Frosty Dragon.
And what is that?
Charisma versus Fortitude.
Ranged?
Ranged, yes.
One target?
Yep.
Cool. And what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just point my dagger at it and icicles will shoot forth from it.
Oh, cool. That is awesome.
Hey, that might hit.
Icicle-y,
15 versus Fortitude.
15 versus Fortitude. That'll hit.
Nice.
Yay!
Encounter over.
15 is less than 42.
No, 15 versus Fortitude. Oh. Not 15 rockin' Fortitude.
Well, you said 42. I thought 42 will come after 41. I'm confused again.
So, there you guys are, in a basement surrounded by little monster corpses.
I'm going to start smushing them.
Okay, I just...
Because I don't want zombie monsters, lizard monkeys coming back to bite me.
Smart. Very smart.
I walk back over to the group as I'm kicking these dead bodies out of my way. Filthy, filthy creatures. I cannot see where these things have come from. Randus, Torque, are you all right?
So, while we're here, since Rob wasn't here last time and probably didn't listen to the show, why don't you guys go ahead and re-describe yourselves. We'll start out with Randus.
Very well. Yes, I'm a man, a fairly short guy for a human, a wild stock of dark hair, and has a leather jacket with all sorts of doodads and different widgets just sticking out all over the place. And
doodads, doohickeys, gizmos.
Yep.
Whatchamacallits. The occasional doomaflashy.
And a random flotsam and jetsam as well. Anyways, yeah, that's pretty much me.
Okay.
And right now I'm patching myself up with said doodads.
Sort of a medieval Ultimate Hawkeye.
Kind of.
Sure.
Orim. What is
Orim? I am an Eladrin. I'm about 5'10", long flowing hair. I've got a long sword and a wand. And I wear, as Torque would say, fancy pants clothing. Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like a little blonde Draco Malfoy type.
Kind of, but better looking.
Longer hair.
And longer hair.
Pointier ears.
And a member of the Feywild.
Honestly, less sniveling, I would say. I mean, Orim is mostly condescending and not really sniveling.
Somebody
really
pointed sniveling. That out on one of the forums about that, and I like that they picked up on his attitude towards other beings.
The condescension is really great, though. I love the moment where Torque is completely oblivious to it. Yep.
Speaking of which, what does Torque look like?
Torque is roughly, I think we said, right short of like 7 feet tall, so rather large, gray-skinned orc. Big horns, because in this world, orcs have horns.
They do now.
Curled back horns like a ram that come around under his ears. Has a tendency to look at things kind of like a dog when it hears a high sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the thing that might be noticeable, at least to me, what defines Torque is he kind of stumbles around and plumps around, but at the moment where combat begins, the lizard brain kicks in, and all of a sudden you have a well-tuned fighting machine until there's nothing left to hit.
Yeah.
Also, he loves funnel cakes.
Emmer,
I need some funnel cakes, is what it is.
And now that they've seen you in action, any further description for Smith?
Long brown leather coat, as much of his skin is covered up as possible. Basically, you can see his face. Doesn't open his mouth much to talk. You know, though he's got a friendly demeanor, he's, you know, personable, is just kind of seems to keep himself closed in and everything tight-lipped.
Can we tell if he's a human or what his race is?
He appears to be human.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if that was...
For some reason, I'm picturing David Tennant.
There you go.
I think it's the name Smith.
So,
sorry, this is dramatic.
Kind sir, thank you so much for assisting us, although I do feel we would have accomplished the task. I noticed you were using a wand, much like myself. You must be someone who has studied in the Arcana.
Daggers. Made them myself.
Aha.
You have never really encountered anybody who channels magic through daggers.
Well, I don't understand this dagger magic. What is this? Something new.
Daggers is like a little sword. They small and you can poke people with them, whereas a regular sword is...
Yeah, Torque, I think I do understand that part.
I'm just saying, you're
not the typical wizard or mage or priest that I might have encountered somewhere before.
Yeah, this is kind of new to me, too. I haven't been doing this for more than about a week.
Okay.
The whole moon thing, I'm guessing, maybe...
So you're saying that you are some other type of magical?
Be honest, I don't know.
I see.
I'm going to roll my arcana to figure out what you...
Go for it.
Well, I'm kind of guessing it would be some sort of wild magic negative. Just by guessing by the unfocused display on... unfortunately seeing the backlash against our friend Torque here.
Can I...
Yeah. Haven't been set on fire by your magic ease, I can tell you. What you are is a prestidigitator. And what you need to do is stab things more and point the sword to thingy like that. What you do is You don't want to shoot fire out of your blades. You want to hit people with them, like I done.
It's a common mistake.
So can I roll an Arcana check to try to figure out if I know what or
you can roll
check
me,
or what?
All right, what I'm trying to do
is figure out what his class is.
Here's what you can do. You can give me an Arcana check if you're going to get all up in his grill and start poking at him and see if you can tell anything.
I didn't know if I could just sense an aura or something around him.
That's basically what you'd be doing.
Without getting up in his grill and offending him?
No, not really. You have to be poking in his armpits and, you know.
His aura is brown.
Hey, what's this? Hey, what's this?
All right, then I won't do that at this point. So even though we kind of, even though off-game we know who he is, in-game we don't really know what he is either.
That's okay. Right.
All right. Where did you come from, sir?
Small town up north, moon hit. I got picked up with a caravan. Speaking of which, you'd seen some able-bodied folks. We're looking, for a few more people who can handle some of the wilder creatures that have been appearing, as we head back to, Diamond Throne.
Diamond Throne. I hear Randus was talking about that the other day. It's a capital area?
Yes, it is the capital land of this region.
I see.
It's where the really good parades are, and it's where the crowny guy lives, I thought.
Yes, although unfortunately I don't think there will be much call for parades anytime recently. But
that's where you go for them.
Randus, I think these last couple of days, I think we've found out everything we could from the collapsed tower.
Most likely. I think we've done what good we could do here. I think for the most part, the rescue effort has pretty much been all opportunities have been drained out on that. We probably should assist these refugees in getting on to their next location.
You don't have any elves in your caravan, do you?
Not that I know of.
Then fine. Torque, do you have any reason to stay behind?
Behind where?
Do you want to go smashy smashy and killy killy?
No, that don't sound like fun. I wouldn't mind fighting some stuff, though.
All right. Then come with us.
I figure.
What is your name, sir?
Fine. My name's Smith, and yours?
I am Orum. Of the Eladrin.
My name's Halston Thorkelson, but everybody call me Torque.
It's nice to meet you, Torque.
And I am Randus Duthane. Pleasure to meet you. Just be careful where you're pointing your magics.
I've been on fire before. It's not like that big of a... You gotta stop, you drop, and then you roll. I also like to stop, drop, scream, and then roll.
Well, at least you did on your feet this time.
Alright.
Alright.
It sounds like we are at a natural breaking point for this adventure, so we're going to take a quick break, and we will return with our new companion, Smith, as we join the caravan on our move towards Diamond Throne.